I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, there's a reason why you're hearing Eye of the Tiger on News Radio 930 WBEN. This is Stefan Mihailu filling in for Tom Bowerly. I'm in Tom's chair from 4 to 6 p.m. It's big shoes to fill, and he is a radio and broadcasting icon and legend, and I will do my level best. But yes, Tanner Saunders, there's a reason why he's playing Eye of the Tiger at the beginning of this broadcast, because we have an incredibly special treat for you that we're going to air in the 5:30 hour. So I mentioned on the show on Tuesday that we might have a special guest. I didn't want to overpromise and underdeliver because I have been dealing with the United States Bureau of Prisons. And that is because Tiger King, Joe Exotic, called me about 30 minutes before going on the air. And I was able to record our conversation, did an interview. So we're breaking news, Tanner, here on News Radio 930 WBEN. The Tiger King himself, Joe Exotic, an exclusive interview on News Radio 930 WBEN. That is going to be coming up between now and 6 p.m. And more than likely, we're going to run that in the 5:30 hour. Joe Exotic, I talked to him about his life behind bars. I talked to the Tiger King himself about clemency or a pardon from President Trump. He was very aware that President Trump had issued a full pardon of former Congressman George Santos. So I wanted to see, like, hey, what do you think? Is there a chance that you could be pardoned by President Donald J. Trump? That was part of the conversation that I had with Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. Of course, I had to ask him about the Buffalo Bills. And it was just interesting to me because I have done, and I'm not allowed to talk about it, but I have done volunteer work inside state prisons. And part of the secrecy of the volunteer work that I've done is that you don't disclose any of the work with inmates or exactly what happens within the walls of a state prison. But Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, is behind federal bars. And of course, with the Super Bowl coming up, I'm like, well, what do you think? Who are you favoring? I asked him about the Buffalo Bills. He wasn't too sure about that ending in the Broncos and Bills game, but he did have a favorite team who was going to win the Super Bowl. And I asked Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, you're going to hear his answers in the 5:30 hour about what his plans are, whether he gets out of prison now or gets out of prison in 10, 20 years. What is he going to do? His answer was very interesting. And also, too, it was interesting, too, because I was talking to my wife, Ashley, that, hey, I'm 99% sure that Joe is going to call me at a certain hour. I can record it. And she goes, oh, you know what? That guy got me through COVID. And it was the same comment from Nancy Orticelli, is a very dear friend of mine. She's with the Constitutional Coalition of New York State. And she said the same exact thing. She goes, wow, that guy got me through COVID. And I asked the Tiger King, Joe Exotic, again, it's an interview you're going to hear later on News Radio 930 WBEN, about, hey, what do you think about that? That people like my wife Ashley, my friend Nancy, there are people out there who say, yeah, that guy got me through COVID, through his special Tiger King on Netflix. And he really did have a poignant answer to that. And again, you'll hear that all coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'm going to record that and play it in the 5:30 hour. And the reason why we can't play it live, for a few reasons. Number one, the Bureau of Prisons, they're very strict about what phone numbers they can use, what phone numbers they cannot use. And he has my cell phone. So he had to call my cell phone, and there was just no physical way to patch it through from like my cell phone into the motherboard here to BEN. So he says, hey, we'll just record it. But also, too, and I've talked to Joe Exotic before on the phone, that guy, he rips the Band-Aid right off. It's refreshing to hear from him. He pulls no punches. But that also means potentially maybe using language that's not suitable for the FCC. And thank goodness we recorded it, because I had to run the audio to Tanner Saunders, who is going to bleep out a certain section of what Joe Exotic and I talked about during our interview. And that's going to run again in the 5:30 hour. Tanner, you only really had to use the bleep button once for that one, correct?
What was that? My headphones cut out a little bit.
You only had to bleep out Joe Exotic once, correct?
Only once, which I'm grateful for, because by the sound of it, when we were talking earlier off the air, you made it sound like he was a walking FCC violation. So I'm glad it was only one. There's been far more strenuous times that I've had to edit clips with cuss words and all that. So only one, we'll take that as a win.
And that's the only reason why, again, and I love Joe Exotic. Again, I have talked to him on the phone before. We've had wonderful conversations just about his life behind bars and in prison. So yes, that's another reason why we had to tape the interview with Joe Exotic, which you're going to hear again in the 5:30 hour here on News Radio 930 WBEN, is because of the fact that federal prisons, they have my personal cell phone. It's very strict of what he can and cannot call, but also do. I just wasn't sure if we're going to launch an F-bomb, and then poor Tanner is struggling with his finger on the pause button for that. So I mentioned my wife, Ashley, too, how basically Tiger King got her and a lot of you through COVID. So back by popular demand, Ashley is going to hop on the air with us again at 5 o'clock. My phone blew up when my amazing wife came on the air with me last week on News Radio 930 WBEN. But you know what? Everyone said, you gotta bring her back on. So the most popular and fan favorite Mahilu in the Mahilu household, and it's not me, is going to be on at 5 o'clock. And that is my just amazing wife. I love her more than life itself. Ashley Mahilu will be on at 5 o'clock. Folks, if you want to call in or text, the number is 716-803-0930. 716-803-0930. Because there's a very sensitive yet important topic that we're going to bring up at 4:30. It was a landmark trial, a huge jury win that is sending shockwaves across America, and I really haven't heard a lot about it. I want to hear your opinions about gender surgeries, trans surgeries, not for adults, but for kids. What are your thoughts on that? Should children go under the knife to basically butcher themselves and go through that transitioning process when it comes to being a child? Should that be happening anywhere in the United States or here in New York State? So I want to hear your opinion. 716-803-0930. You can text me on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. That number again, 716-803-0930. It was a $2 million jury verdict. The woman is now 22 years old, but at the time, she was 16 years old. And this woman went with her mom. Again, she was a minor, 16 years old, went with her mom and had a double mastectomy, basically butchered her own body at the age of 16. And now as an adult, she's 22, her and her mom sued. There was not only a physician that performed the surgery, but also a psychologist. And this woman, who is now 22 years old, she identified as a boy in her teen years. And this story, I have only seen it in two places, one, the Epoch Times, and in the New York Post. 22-year-old woman identified as a boy in her teen years. She won a $2 million jury verdict, basically for medical malpractice against the psychologist and the physician, because she was considered a detransitioner. She got $1.6 million for past and future pain and suffering, and then an additional $400,000 for future medical expenses. So what are your thoughts? Should doctors be doing this to kids? And that's going to be something we're going to be talking about in the 4:30 hour. So as a parent, it infuriated me. Because think of all of the different laws in New York State that protect minors, okay? In New York State, there's a certain age, and it is many other states across the country. And the first person that brought that up to me was Vivek Ramaswamy. When I served as spokesman for Vivek Ramaswamy's presidential campaign, he was very passionate about the issue when it comes to basically transitioning children, chopping off the body parts of children, because kids are telling their deranged, mentally ill parents that, hey, I don't think I'm a boy. I don't think I'm a girl. I have my personal opinions. I think if you're born, there's two genders. This is where I draw the line, in my very humble opinion. And I'm going to share it with you because I've got the microphone and I'm in for Tom Bowerly. There are two genders, male and female. That's it. Male and female. And I mentioned Vivek because he took a ton of heat. But you know what? He was the tip of the spear when it comes to this argument. And Vivek Ramaswamy would always say, hey, we need to treat the mental illness of a lot of these individuals. I mean, we have children telling their parents, hey, can you take me to a doctor and chop off my breasts, chop off my body parts? That's permanent. That is forever. That's forever for kids. And I just think back, I mean, to our teen years. I mean, you're going through puberty. Your emotions are going insane at that time. And I tell my wife, actually, all the time, I didn't get my act together till I turned 40 or close to it. I really didn't. I did not get my act together and really have a good head on my shoulders where I can say, okay, I'm going to fire on all cylinders until I was 40. But Vivek would make the point all the time of, well, wait a minute. You cannot get a tattoo in most states across the country, a tattoo, until you're 18 years old, where you're considered in many states an adult. So think about how insane it is that in certain states, doctors and hospitals are chopping off the body parts of children, because they're gender confused. They think they're one sex and they think they're something else. And well, they're paying up right now. And it is a landmark case where a now 22-year-old woman was 16 years old when she had a double mastectomy. 16 years old. And according to this article in the New York Post, and again, the Epoch Times had reported on it quite some time, where the mother of this girl testified that she was against the surgery, but she consented to it out of fear, according to the New York Post, that her daughter would commit suicide. And she also mentioned in the Epoch Times that the psychologist and the doctor, they were so emphatic and pushing, quote from the mom, I felt like there was no good decision. It was a scare tactic. Well, guess what? The girl sued and a jury claimed it was medical malpractice, and was awarded $2 million. And according to the Epoch Times and the New York Post, there are now 28 detransitioner lawsuits that are going all across the country. But this is the first one where a jury ruled. And again, there were New York doctors. This happened here in New York State. This was not far away. This was not on the left coast, the liberal coast, the west coast. This happened right here in New York State. It is considered a landmark decision. And our phones and the text board is lighting up, the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. And they made the point right there. This is from the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. If you want to call in or text me, 716-803-0930, 716-803-0930. This is from the text board. If we won't allow a child to get a tattoo, then why would we ever allow them to cut off their genitalia? That's sick and psychotic. These liberal doctors who endorse this are completely unhinged mentally and emotionally. And yes, and so are the individuals who are actually going through this surgery and their children. What about their parents? My God, you want to talk about child abuse? What are these parents pushing on their kids? And then another text comes in. Love listening to you, Stefan. Can't wait to hear the Tiger King. Yeah, Tiger King. He is coming up again in the 5:30 hour. And coming up at 5:40, we're going to hear from a parent advocate who works night and day. And it's going to be a very important interview about this important topic, about the fact that gender mutilation is taking part here in New York State, and it's taking part across the country. But no one wants to talk about the issue of mental illness, about emotions. Children and kids, if you're 14, 16 years old, you're going through puberty, your mind is mush. Your emotions are bouncing off the walls. And that is not the age for any physician to be mutilating children because they are confused about their gender. They're confused about their identity. I'll tell you what, ask me. You're either male or you're female. You're born with boy parts or you're born with girl parts. But you know what? If you're an adult and you're going through this process, I would strongly encourage these individuals, seek mental health counseling first. Before you walk into the doctor's office and say, hey, chop that off, that's permanent. It's not growing back. It's gone. So I would strongly encourage these individuals, go seek mental health counseling first. And if you're an adult and you want to do that to your own body, if you want to mutilate your own body, knock your socks off. We have free will. We live in a democracy. And if you're an adult, fine. But it's abuse when you're doing it to kids. And it's even worse abuse when you're a parent and you're pushing it on your child. And you know what? This mom, they decided we're going to sue. They won $2 million. So at any of these hospitals or doctors that perform this, get your checkbook ready because you are literally going to pay. And we're going to hear from that parent advocate coming up in the 4:30 hour here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I am Stefan Mihailu, filling in for Tom Bowerly. My wife Ashley's coming on at 5 o'clock. You're going to hear from Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to the Tom Bowerly Show on News Radio 930 WBEN. I am not Tom Bowerly. He's a radio legend. I am Stefan Mihailu, just filling in for Tom Bowerly today until 6 p.m. You want to stick around after that, though? Tom Puckett's around. He's got the Buffalo Evening News from 6 to 7, and then Will Kane Country from 7 to 8, and Fox Across America with Jimmy Failliff. He's on from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. I see him on Fox News all the time, to say the least. Very special guest coming up at 5:30, Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. Call me on my cell phone right before I was going on the air here at the top of the hour. And again, he's within the confines of the Federal Bureau of Prisons. He can't call me at any time. And there's only one approved number to reach me that Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, has. It's my cell phone. Can't tell you how he got it, or I can get in touch with him. That's another story for another day. But interview with the Tiger King, Joe Exotic. We're going to run that in the 5:30 hour here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And then my lovely wife, Ashley, is coming up at 5 o'clock. I'm going to have to ask her if I need to pick up anything on the ride home. She was on the last time, and I totally forgot I had to buy hangers. And she was on the air. She's like, hey, don't forget the hangers. I'm like, oh, I totally forgot. So, Ashley, if you're listening, or just remind me if there's anything you need for my ride home. I greatly appreciate that. So in the last half hour, we talked about when it comes to a landmark lawsuit. It was a jury verdict. It was a trial verdict where a psychologist and a doctor were hit with malpractice, $2 million in damages. The woman is now 22 years old, but she was 16 when she approached, and her mom and her family approached this psychologist and then physician. She was confused about her gender, thought she was a boy, got a double mastectomy, and then they sued for malpractice and negligence, and a jury awarded them. It was a New York case, $2 million. If you want to text in to the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, that number is 716-803-0930. Or if you want to call in, it's the same number, 716-803-0930. And people shared their opinions very bluntly there. Gender-affirming surgery is unreal. It's like if I were to identify as a quadruple amputee and wanted to get both of my perfectly healthy arms and legs chopped off. What about the Hippocratic Oath? First, do no harm. Parents and doctors who would not only endorse this but follow through are negligent. We also have another one saying gender-affirming surgeries need serious therapy. Yes, I firmly believe, as did Vivek Ramaswamy, that it is a mental illness, that there are two genders, you're male or you're female, you're boy or you're girl. And if as an adult you want to chop off your parts, knock your socks off, don't inflict that abuse on kids. Well, that's why I reached out to this very special guest who is joining us right now on the live line on News Radio 930 WBEN. She is a passionate parent advocate and is with the Coalition to Protect Kids New York. It's Aisha Kreitz, who's a friend of yours truly and a friend of this program. Again, Aisha is with the Coalition to Protect Kids New York, but also with the Frederick Douglass Foundation. Aisha, you are live on News Radio 930 WBEN. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I am blessed to have you. Very blessed and fortunate to have you. So I want to start with this case because it's a New York case, because there's so many ramifications here, Aisha, when it comes to this $2 million verdict that it was medical malpractice on the part of this physician and on the psychologist. So what was your first reaction? Because again, you are a passionate advocate to protect children and protect families. What was your reaction when you heard about this jury trial and this verdict for $2 million?
You know, I mean, I think that it is a huge win. You know, I mean, you've been saying it, but it really is. And I hope that doesn't get by anyone. And I'm not talking, you know, again, and not like, you know, for political reasons or anything, but I'm talking about medically, ethically, right? For us as parents, you know, as a parent, as an advocate, everything. I mean, we have been warning for years, right, that these kids should not be rushed into irreversible medical procedures. And now we have, you know, the courts, the medical profession kind of coming alongside and saying, yeah, this is, you know, not the standard of care that we should be providing for our children, right? And I think that the jury, you know, that's really what they were pushing, right? That they're not talking about what anyone's personal beliefs are, because those things are not really important when it comes to medicine and, you know, objective truth, right? They're saying this is a standard of care that they were ruling on, and that standard of care was violated. And so I really do think that it's a huge win, and hopefully it will be a huge wake-up call, you know, for children, for parents, and also for the medical profession, that we need to really take a huge step backwards, like a lot of other countries have already done, and start providing true care for our children that are the ones that are going to suffer in the end.
I mean, don't you think, and I hope and pray that generations in the future will look back on what some of these doctors are doing to children. I mean, you got to remember and think, I mean, the full frontal lobotomies were taking place decades ago. And at that time, everyone's like, oh, this is the best way to treat, A, B, C, and D. But now they're literally mutilating and chopping off permanently body parts of kids. As a parent and as someone from the Coalition to Protect Kids in New York, what are your thoughts on the fact that this surgery is even happening to children?
Well, that's a whole different, you know, I mean, it's disgusting, to be honest. And I think that kids, you know, what has happened, right, is like we've totally changed the framework. We've allowed them to believe that somehow your body is a social construct, right? That it's not even real, that puberty isn't real. You know, we're not even addressing those underlying issues anymore for our kids that are already confused. And that's the part that I think is disgusting. That's the part that I think that we need to really stop giving our kids this false framework and start, you know, saying, hey, it's normal for you to not really know, you know, what's going on with your body, right? That's what we had when we were growing up, right? That it's okay. You can explore. You can have the questions. You can do all of those things. And, you know, I mean, I'm a Christian, and, you know, God knit us together. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And for us to go back and start telling our children that, you know, and not standing firm on that and telling our children that somehow they are a mistake is the part that is really detrimental, right? We see that, I think it's like 88% of kids, you know, that are going through all of this, they detransition as adults, unless they have been socially transitioned and as well. And that number then drops to like 4%. So we can see that there is a social contagion part of this, and parents and doctors should not be feeding into that.
But how crazy is it that there are laws on the books, whether it's state statutes, federal statutes? Okay, alcohol, which I don't drink anymore. You know, I really didn't, you know, I wasn't hiding bottles to, you know, hiding from my family or escaping my problems. I would have a beer here and there, but I just don't drink anymore. There are laws on the books that say, hey, at a certain age, you're not prepared for alcohol consumption. It's 21. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tobacco. Okay, there's a certain age to protect young people from tobacco. You can't get a tattoo. Now, how crazy is this? You can't get a tattoo in most states at a certain age because that's permanently damaging your body. But yet, whether it's New York or others, you can have gender mutilation because a 14-year-old or 16-year-old thinks they're confused about being a boy or a girl. Isn't that just insane to you?
Well, it is. And whatever, and the other part of that, too, is, you know, one of the things that they said, right, like, oh, tobacco, they're targeting children, right? And you can't have ads to kids anymore. But then they target the children for this, right? And it's kind of like, so you see that these, you know, alcohol companies, these tobacco companies are trying to profit off of our children, right? They're the commodity. But when it comes to this issue, you have all these politicians and the medical field, right? Like, that they're not holding the same standard, right? It's hypocritical for them to do that, because that's what the medical profession has been doing. And these psychologists, they have been profiting off of our children and making them a commodity. And, you know, I don't know why so many people don't see that, except for maybe, you know, I mean, you're a parent, right? And I get it. You know, we want to love our kids and support them and everything that they do, but we don't support them running out into the middle of the road when, you know, a semi is going by. So, you know, we really have to have, and, you know, hopefully this decision will help us as well start having a more concrete and productive conversation around this, instead of being like, you got to protect the kids by letting them do whatever they want and we got to be their friends, right? I mean, it's crazy.
It's, you know, insane.
I don't understand, you know, where this is coming from, except for, you know, people believing, and it's not just in this issue, there's other issues, right? We've come to kind of this conclusion in a way that justice is cruelty instead of protection, right? And so many different aspects, because you're like, how is hurting somebody or allowing somebody to hurt themselves justice? And that's kind of where I come down on that. I don't quite understand where that is coming from, but those are the type of conversations that we really need to start having, right? And this verdict, I think, hopefully will do just that, right? It doesn't end the conversation, but it starts the conversation. It starts forcing us to have accountability.
Amen to that. You're listening to Aisha Kreitz. She's with the Coalition to Protect Kids in New York and also with the Frederick Douglass Foundation with Stefan Mihailu on News Radio 930 WBEN. But Aisha, I look at this from a three-pronged approach. Number one, there is either severe mental, emotional illness, illness on behalf of whether it's the child, the young adult, puberty, emotions, you're just not in the right head set at that age or at that time. And if you're adult, you want to do that, great. I also think there is severe wokeism, radicalism, and mental illness on behalf of the parents. Because what parent at certain ages. I mean, you hear these stories, Aisha, of like kids who are 5 or 6. Oh, yeah, they're a boy. They're a girl. They're not this. They're telling me this. I think the parents are just as nuts. But Aisha, but isn't the third prong of this the medical community? Because once you chop off a body part, whether it's a kid, it should never happen, it's mutilation, or a mentally ill adult who decides to go under the knife and mutilate their own body. Aisha, isn't it about dollars when it comes to these doctors and physicians and hospitals? Because then they've got a patient for life.
For life. Well, and that's what I was, yeah, absolutely, right? I mean, they're treating our children, right, as the entry point of a commodity, right? And they're not. You know, the surgery, you know, I think we were talking about before, right, that puberty, just on its own, without anything else, is its own mental condition, right? I mean, we've all been through it as adults, and we understand the hard life that happens during puberty, and how is having a surgery going to fix these psychological wounds, right? And then on top of it, if you do have a psychosis, right, if you do have body dysphoria, then again, we are taking advantage of that. And if these psychologists can convince them that, you know, it is real, and you have doctors confirming that afterwards, then you have a patient for life. But again, with this verdict, as long as we don't let the conversation end here and more people come forward and say, yes, I think we will put a hard stop to that, because now they have to weigh that, right? Of saying, oh, you know, as a psychologist, if I can start going to jail, if these, you know, that's happened also for encouraging these children down this road, and now the doctors are going to be sued afterwards in 10 years. Well, now this patient that was going to be $2 million, $3 million over their lifetime is now costing you that money. And hopefully the accountability comes in there. You know, like I said, I think it's such a huge win for us. And I really hope more people pick this up and start saying, yes, see, right? What is it? The IWE, the Independent Women's Forum, IWF, right? They have so many videos of these kids that are being, you know, they've done great work, you know, on this, in this space, of all of these kids who are detransitioning afterwards and how they have all been harmed. So I hope that we see more and more of those lawsuits coming through, so that the medical profession stops looking at our children as piggy banks and, you know, a commodity, and starts going back to their Hippocratic oath. You know, these children, they struggle with anxiety, depression, trauma, all these other things, and everybody's just leaving them out to hang and say, oh, cut your boobs off and now you're going to be okay.
Yeah, we got to treat that. Exactly. You hit the nail on that. That was perfect. Anxiety, depression, mental illness, treat that. That is the issue, not gender mutilation of kids. Well, I really appreciate you. It is a blessing to speak with you, Aisha Kreitz. And again, you're with the Coalition to Protect Kids New York, yes. And you're also with the Frederick Douglass Foundation. Thank you for calling in and sharing your thoughts, and keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it, and God bless.
All right, God bless you too. Thank you so much. Again, right, that is Aisha Kreitz with the Coalition to Protect Kids New York. I love Robin Elma. He's hilarious. He will text in to the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. And folks, if you want to call in, 716-803-0930, or just send us a text, Robin Elma. Hey, my kid wanted to be a pirate when he was a child, but I didn't poke his eye out and cut off his leg. I mean, it's true. It's absolutely true. We need to treat and have sympathy and empathy for these individuals. I don't judge in any way, shape, or form someone who has that severe mental illness or someone who is struggling. As Vivek Ramaswamy correctly pointed out, I agree with him. He's saying it is mental illness. Or these kids, their brains aren't even developed to the point to make a decision of, hey, I'm a boy, I'm a girl. Yeah, let's go and chop off permanently and mutilate my body. That's the difference, folks. We have to treat the anxiety, the depression, the mental illness. That is the solution. And you know what? And now doctors are paying. And that's why it was so important for me to bring in Aisha, this parent advocate, and to talk about this historic court ruling that I didn't see anywhere other than the Epoch Times or the New York Post. So there you have it. And Bob's your uncle. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, my much better half, Ashley Mihailu, an amazing woman, wonderful woman. My phone blew up the last time she was on, and people said, hey, can you bring her on again? So yes, my amazing and lovely wife, Ashley, is coming up next on News Radio 930 WBEN. And then at 5:30, my interview with Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. The Tiger King, exclusive on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'm Staffan Mihailu, filling in for Tom Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Producer Tanner Saunders is the man. He and I always go back and forth on music, depending, of course, who the guest, who's coming on. And then like 30 seconds before, I was pretty good, though, Tanner, because I knew it wasn't that song. Obviously, I knew it was not. I knew the song was not Dixie Chicks, but I knew it was
the Dixie Cups.
I knew it. I nailed it. And of course, playing that song because I always call her our Ukrainian mama bear, my much better half, backed by popular demand. The most popular Mihailu in Elma, New York, in the house, Ashley Mihailu. You are live on the air. How are you, sweetheart?
Hi, honey.
So if you're on the air, if you're on the air, who's watching the kids?
We have a family friend over.
You didn't.
They're not on transit road.
They're not running in traffic. Did you think about NyQuil at all or no?
No NyQuil. You and your jokes. If you all haven't gotten the hint already, Stefan loves dad jokes, and they might be new to you, but they're very old to me. So I already know what jokes he's going to say before he says them. We call them his Stefanisms.
Isn't that brutal, though? Because, like, if someone comes up to me for the first time, like, hey, aren't you? And you've heard it, like, a million times. You probably want to, like, stick a fork in my eye and, like, muzzle me.
That's your thing.
But for that person, though, it's the first time I'm meeting them. So, like,
I think you're hilarious. Yes.
But I also can't be a jerk. And you will vouch for me. Like, but you are with me all the time when I meet people for the first time, whether they recognize me from TV or radio or politics. I can't be a jerk. Just because it's the right thing to do, number one. But also, two, you'll vouch for me. I'm never rude, crude, or be like, hey, you know.
No. You're always very friendly and respectful, and I think it shocks the other side of the aisle.
Well, is there anything, before we get to the nitty gritty, is there anything I need to get, like, pick up? I got to stop at Delta Sonic on my way home. I'm, like, almost out of gas.
No, but I'm just giving you a heads up. Victoria's still napping. So you
She's
know
still
how
sleeping?
Correct. She threw a huge temper tantrum coming out of the car after picking up the boys and then ended up going on the couch and passing out. So, yeah, we are in big trouble for the rest of the night. So you better take some 5-hour energy coffee. You know what our night's going to look like. And if you're a parent or a grandparent, you know what those late naps do to your family.
Absolutely
so
brutal.
We try to avoid it, blast the music, do the dance party. She was not having it. So, yeah.
She reminds me of my mother. I call it the Arlene gene. She's a social butterfly. Your mother, too, and you. But, hey, someone on the text board said, for me, I don't know the answer to this, how long were you on Wegovy to lose 60 pounds? Do you have any idea when I started that, the fat shot?
Oh, I don't. Hanya might know, who's in the house watching my kids, Chichi Hanya. I think it might be a year. I have to look back at maybe right after Joshua's wedding in Maryland. I think it's probably a year.
But you love me when I was you love me when I was fat, Steph.
I met you when you were your heaviest, and you joke about your khaki pants and New Balance. And I remember talking to my full disclosure, one of my girlfriends, she's like, Ashley, clothing could be changed. Don't you worry. no, I'm not that vain. But no, I met you when you were at your heaviest. And well, Govee has been life changing. And a lot of people, I know that's not what we were going to talk about, but a lot of people have a lot of opinions. But I've been there with you for, you know, over 10 years now. And when I say you have done it all, from personal trainers to you know, the gym, to everything. I think some people, I'm no doctor, but, you know, there's a reason why OBGYNs have prescribed that for women that have PCOS, hormone imbalances. I think some people just need that based on their body chemistry. So I prefer you not to be leaving me and dead at a younger age. So it has been life-changing for us. So.
Yeah, I'm not getting a candlelight vigil if I drop dead right now. It's kind of like, well, he was fat. All right, he went. So let's get down to the nitty gritty, because I think they should give us a show. Whether you and I do like a politics and parenting podcast.
I love it.
Or WBEN gives us a show, because I need like another job, like I need a hole in my head.
I agree. I mean, we've gotten that feedback from people just about marriage, parenting. And like I've mentioned before, I've trained in various parenting, you know, perspectives, programs. So, you know, I'm all for it.
So
people like to hear what we have to say.
Exactly. So let's get on to brass tacks, because you texted me when I was talking about the issue of gender mutilation, kids, young kids getting that surgery. And you basically texted me, and I want to hear your thought on that, because you had mentioned that, hey, kids' brains just aren't developed at that age.
Yeah, prefrontal cortex, they said, you know, decision-making, amygdala. Children, regardless, you know, gender-affirming aside, regardless, children do not have the brain development to make those decisions about their life, right? Whether that's what they eat, you know, our children will eat sugar all day if we let them, right? So it's really up to the parent to, you know, be there for their children and talk about, you know, right from wrong and not let them make impulsive decisions.
Especially a permanent decision about something as serious as going through a transition in a gender surgery.
Yeah. Yeah. And kids are already, you know, it's hard being a kid nowadays. You get bullying. A lot of the kids, they know they're different. Right. Like I see a lot of the kids in early childhood and some of the trauma they've been through, or just, you know, could be neurodivergent and they know that they're different. And it's difficult, because then you are in and around other people that might affirm, right, your beliefs. And obviously that person won that lawsuit, and there's doctors that affirm that and parents that affirm that. It's a touchy subject.
Well, let's change gears a little bit now, because again, I do want to talk politics and parenting with like my amazing wife, Ashley, who's live with me on News Radio 930 WBEN. Like I'm not joking when I say this to people. They're like, hey, why did you pick Ashley? Like, why did I pick you? Like, why did I attract you? Why did I want to marry you? And I'm serious when I say this, that you chose social work. And mm-hmm. that you have a brain and a heart, because you're a Republican, you're a leaning conservative social worker. And that's true. You have a heart and a brain. How tough was that, being right leaning in a field that is known for having like extreme radical, progressive, radical women?
Yeah. So let me go back to, you know, being a grad student. I think there were just a few of us that were registered Republican. And I just want to, you know, my journey of politics, where, yes, I am a registered Republican, but I voted all different, you know, all sides of the aisle. I think at one point I looked at you and said, maybe I'm a libertarian. I don't even know where I am. I don't fit with the MAGA Republicans. I don't fit with the liberals. I have a lot of different viewpoints, you know, my own lived experience. And I think that I had a different perspective, because you're in a field, right, where I have a code of ethics that I follow and take a human rights, trauma-informed perspective, but I saw things differently. You know, I spent my whole career mainly on the East Side working with families that have trauma in their homes. And I was a director, assistant director. I've ran grants. And I saw things differently. I saw that throwing money at an issue is not always a solution. Having the government run things is not always a solution. There were things that I saw as a solution that I wanted to do, but I couldn't because of the parameters of grants, right? And I do think the government should be a safety net, But again, it starts in early childhood. It starts with attachment. And I saw that the system was broken. And actually, the older I've gotten, the more I've gone into the field of social work, became apparent, I do believe I've gone more to the right, if that's what you say, or more of anti-government. But also, I've kind of been all over the place.
But I want to hop in and talk about the fact that you basically almost had to be in the closet, though, as a conservative or as a Republican in social work. I mean, how was that when you're in meetings and you're hearing this left-wing ideology? Where did you really feel as though, like, hey, I got to shut my mouth?
Yeah, I mean, there were some things that I did believe in and some things I didn't believe in, and you couldn't speak up. And I also, you know, you also have to add being married to you, right? And
what?
You being an elected official, you know, I would get some heat with that, and it would be very confusing. People would be like, how does that work? You know, how, and I didn't openly talk about all of my views, but, you know, that things have changed in the field. And I've even talked to some of my other social worker friends that have left the field. Things have changed because it is no more liberal and Democrat and views that I have agreed with. The leftists, that's what they call themselves now, have taken over. They have ransacked, hijacked the party. And I knew about a year ago I was done between burnout, compassion fatigue, and some things I just could not believe in anymore. I knew I was done with the field.
And weren't you at a conference when you were like, okay, this is it. I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. I'm done.
Yeah. There was I remember this was kind of one of the icing on the cake. We were getting ready for a national conference, early childhood conference. And I remember one of the Zooms, we were supposed to be talking about what the conference looked like. And one of the Zooms, they had somebody from the CIA, FBI, they were increasing security. And the whole Zoom was about one of the board members in Utah, and basically using scare tactics about how conservatives, how Republicans, basically my own husband, my own family, even some of my viewpoints were big, scary people to the point that they needed extra security. It was an hour long Zoom about this. And I remember looking at you and thinking, I'm done. This is a level of delusion that I just cannot be on board with anymore.
But your job, like, I can't do what I do as a small business owner. I cannot do what I do without you being a stay-at-home mom. I just can't. I mean, remember how hard it was when I was on the Vivek campaign and you were working and watching the kids and I was traveling the country? Your job, what you do, is far more important than anything I'll ever do. I mean, do you share that feeling?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, too, I was done running the rat race of life. Like, you were working so much and we were playing Tetris and I just didn't want to miss, you know, being home with the kids and being there for them. And I'm busier now that two are in school. I'm busier now than ever than, you know, working full time and then being home and having a second job.
But also, too, getting back to the social work, too, because wasn't there, I remember if you shared the story with me today, basically, wasn't along the lines of, like, when you were in the business, every person in social work was like, oh, Donald Trump's making these cuts. They're cutting this. They're cutting that.
I know.
And it never happened.
Yeah. It's scare tactics. It's, you know, what I feel like I got sucked into is that hypervigilance of being so scared every day and just the paranoia that people experience. And you know what? That's their lived experience. And unfortunately, I've been called privileged, right? Since I'm not in that anymore and having that hypervigilance, I know there are people and that's their lived experience that they experience every day. But there is a level of delusion that I've experienced with certain coworkers and certain parts of the field.
Privileged. You were making peanuts as a social worker. I was making peanuts in government. We were selling clothes. I mean, just a few years ago, we're selling clothes for money.
Yeah. Yeah. And who wants to start off making, $30,000 a year as a social worker and nonprofit as a supervisor? I mean, you want to talk about helping families and talk about the money that's not in direct care in social work. It's all about relationship. And we are paying social workers just like early childhood. We are paying people that are helping the brains of children and families. It's that attachment, our youngest citizens in society, we are paying them minimum wage. Minimum wage. It's just it, it, it's there needs to be change.
It's bananas. And then, of course, now it's the parenting part. Victoria crashed with me last night, and you wound up crashing in Victoria's bed because we sleep in the same bed with our kids. Yeah, I'm like, where's Ashley? And then I got Victoria like literally kicking me like all night long. But can you talk about in the last time that we have, honey, about why, not judging anyone that does the cry it out method. I think that's horrible. But like from a parent, and I'm not talking you as a social worker. I mean, as a loving mom, why it's so important to have our kids in our bed with us.
Yeah, again, it goes back to that attachment and being, you know, anti-sleep training culture. If any person is interested, Beyond Sleep Training Project, if you look them up on Facebook, I was a mom with my first baby who never slept. And when I tell you he was up every 45 minutes, he was up every 45 minutes. And everything I learned went out the window that I knew about early childhood. And we have a square peg child in a circular hole of a education system. And you know it. And nothing worked. And I felt so alone. And all of this advice, you know, people had advice, and none of it made sense. So we definitely took more of an attachment biology perspective. But we here in America, you know, we have this sleep training culture that occurs, and there's a lot of beliefs about being separate from your child.
Yeah, we are not separate from our children. I love being with you. I love being with the kids. And in all seriousness, do I need to pick up anything on the ride home?
No.
Like, do you need anything? Probably. And what do we have going on tonight?
Emmy has soccer, and I think I'm having Victoria come so she can run around.
Yeah, well, she's got to burn off some energy if she's still sleeping.
Yeah, I got to get her up. It's going to be a late night. So.
Well, I love you. I love you so much.
Love you too.
I'm not just saying this to like be kicked on the couch or sleep in the garage, but like I think you're amazing. I love you more than life itself, and I'm blessed that you're my wife.
I love you too, and I'm telling you, we need a show because I have so much to talk about in a couple minutes isn't going to do it justice. So
awesome. That's Ashley Mihailu, my much better half. I love you, sweetheart. I'll see you at home.
Thank
this you. Is Stefan Mihailu sitting in the hot chair. We got Joe Exotic, Tiger King coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Our great producer, Tanner Saunders, finding that song. Because, yes, now, as promised, Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, he called right before I was walking in the chair. And he called me from the federal prison that he is serving time in right now. He is Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, world famous. My wife, Ashley, says all the time. And many others say, hey, you got me through COVID. And Joe's going to talk about that right now. So here it is. WBEN News Radio 930 exclusive with Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. This is Stefan Mihailu on the News Radio 930 WBEN line. And on the line right now is Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. Joe, how are you? It's good to hear from you.
Hey, man, I appreciate you having me. I'm doing okay, considering.
I was just going to say, under the circumstances, you're in federal prison. How are you?
You know, it's a tough job fighting cancer and dealing with everything and then, you know, going through the appeal process and stressing out about court and all that. And then, you know, Monday I was supposed to have my blood infusion and half of the government shut down and the BOP saying they can't do it because the medical is contracted and nobody can guarantee a payment. So I didn't even get my infusion.
So the government shutdown impacted your health care.
It's crazy, and they can push you in a cage, and they cannot do your health care because they're worried about who's going to pay the bill. But if you're running a zoo and you have an animal that needs veterinary care, they're gonna put you in jail for animal cruelty if you don't provide adequate veterinary care.
Joe, can you fill in our WBEN listeners about what is the status of any possible
either pardon or commutation or something from President Trump. What is the latest on that?
Well, we just filed my Supreme Court appeal last night, as a matter of fact, to try and see if the Supreme Court will hear my case and be able to grant me a retrial. My clemency has been filed at the White House with Ed Martin, and I did get an email. My lawyers got an email from the pardon attorney's office, and so did the prison, about an update, you know, about what classes I've been taking and whether I've been in trouble or anything. And they responded, you know, with I've taken over 30 classes in the last 6 months and completed them and haven't been in any trouble. And I'm a little over 4 years from the door. So they recommended that they go ahead and grant my clemency, but we haven't heard anything.
Is there any hope for you after the president pardoned George Santos? Did you see that case and say, hey, if President Trump is going to pardon George Santos, there's hope for Joe Exotic, the Tiger King?
Well, you know, every time somebody gets pardoned, you think that there's going to be hope. You know, I had hope once the Chrisleys got pardoned that I would be on that short list soon. And then, you know, George got his, well, he didn't get a pardon, he got clemency, didn't he? He got clemency and was able to get out too. But, you know, he had Marjorie Taylor Greene behind him too, writing letters to President Trump too. And unfortunately, I don't have anybody in that kind of a power or stance behind me right now in order to push that. But, you know, I did hire Peter Tichtin, Trump's longtime friend, lawyer, and he's kind of as now doing my appeal with the United States Supreme Court and tagged his name on my clemency application that the White House already has. But yeah, you know, I mean, I'm glad George got out. You know, he was in the SHU the entire time, which is hell. You know, I spent 2 years and 8 months in solitary confinement when this all first started, and it shouldn't happen to anybody. But no, I'm glad George got out. I just hope that he is an advocate for what he left behind, which is, what, 150,000 people in this system that are going through the same stuff, living in the SHU every day. Because when I get out of here, and I'm going to make it out of here one day, but when I get out of here, prison reform is going to be one of my top priorities.
Well, can you talk about that a little bit? You mentioned, you know, the other reality stars and their pardon. Obviously, Netflix was huge. Even, you know, I told my wife, Ashley, hey, I'm going to be talking to Joe again. He's going to be on WBEN. She goes, oh, that guy got me through COVID. So can you just believe, like, do you sit back sometimes in prison that, like, hey, I went from Carol Baskin to being in solitary confinement for years?
Isn't that kind of funny, though? Because I talked to, you know, my lawyers are doing that phone call thing right now to pay for this SCOTUS application. And so everybody that I talked to, everybody says the same thing. You got me through COVID. You got me through COVID. You know, all it was a television show. I'm glad that, you know, it was entertaining and it gave you something to do during COVID. But don't forget that I'm a real live human being. And in season 2 of Tiger King, they all admitted to perjury and said that they made it up, you know. And then God, the hitman, even went one step further and said, you know, took them to the zoo and showed them how the original plan was to kill me, to steal the zoo. But, you know, I got you through COVID. Now I need you. I need the world. So hashtag President Trump everywhere you see a post, you know, whether it's on Truth Social or Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, and, you know, free Joe Exotic. I need some, this is my turn to ask for help. I need the public to help me get through this.
Well, that was my next question, Joe, because obviously this is airing on News Radio 930 WBEN in Buffalo, but it is online. We're going on social media. A lot of people are going to listen to you, whether it's online, live on the radio, on WBEN, or on social media. So what would you say to those folks about your plight and what you want them to say or do concerning President Trump and a potential pardon?
You know, first of all, I got to say thank you to everyone around the world, and especially in America here, that has supported me and saw that I shouldn't be here, but it's the letters and the love and the support from everybody that made me get through those 2 years and 8 months of being in solitary confinement, because I laid there every day wishing God would stop my heart. And it's you, the fans, that got me through that. So now I reach out and beg for your support of helping me make enough noise that President Trump will. I don't even need a pardon. You know, just sign my clemency, give me time served, let me go home. I've lost my zoo. I've lost my home. My parents have died. I have nothing. When I walk out of here, I'm going to walk out of here with the clothes that the BOP gives me. And that's fine, because I'm going to start over. And now I have the platform to show the world what good I can do and what good I used to do, because I have goals now. And one of those goals is I'm going to use my platform to fix 5,000 little kids' faces that were born with cleft palates. I want to travel the world and help underprivileged kids. Because I've lived 8 years of living in rat filth infested mold, called the Bureau of Prisons. and it really touched me and it really done something. And so now I want to get out of here and I want to use that, to benefit, people that are living in the same conditions, if not worse, but out in the free world. And so, you know, Netflix showed a crazy part of me, but you got to keep in mind that was all scripted for a reality television show. And I wish that the world would give me the opportunity to come back out and show you the real Joe for a change.
Well, this is Stefan Mihailu on News Radio 930 WBEM with Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. You mentioned the Netflix show, Joe, and looking back, are there any regrets, especially when it comes to Carol Baskin or things of that nature, looking back on it now and thinking, man, I wish I never would have met that lady?
Well, you know, and everybody asks me the same thing, Stefan, and it's not the fight that me and Carol had that put me here. I wished I'd have never met Jeff Lowe, because Jeff Lowe is the snake that set this all up, because he wanted my zoo. He wanted to be the Tiger King. All right, me and Carol had this online feud because it made money for each other. She convinced her followers that I abused baby tigers, and they gave her money, you know, to stop me. And I convinced everybody on JoeExoticTV.com that she was batshit crazy, you know, and killed her husband. And that's how I got my followers. And I never even seen or talked to Carol in real life until the day of my trial. So I don't regret anything really with Carol. That was all propaganda for TV and for online presence. It's Jeff Lowe is the snake in this little crowd that pulled this all off.
So I know, Joe, real quickly, we're on somewhat limited time here, obviously, with your phone call from within the walls of prison. Can you take me through just what your life is like behind bars? I know you spent, again, literally months and years in solitary confinement. But for our listeners on WBEN, what is your life like right now, going from, you know, international star, which you still are, but what's your day like? What is it like behind those walls in prison?
Well, I mean, it's pretty blank. You know, you get up early in the morning for inspection, and then I spend most of my day at rec, outside, walking, working out, drawing, learning different things. But again, I take a lot of classes to stay busy, and try and show the White House that, you know, instead of sitting here doing drugs and drinking alcohol, which is in here, I'm staying busy and I'm staying productive. And then, you know, by the time you go to rec in the morning, and then you come back and you go to lunch, and then you go back to rec, and then you come back for dinner, and then you go back to rec until 8 o'clock at night, your day's pretty much over. But, you know, I can see, and it's a sad part, and that's the part that I want to help reform prison, is a lot of people come here not addicted to drugs, and they leave addicted to drugs because there's nothing else to do in here but do drugs.
Really? That's prevalent.
It's crazy. And that's the only crazy thing that I never understand when I'm watching the news. You know, we're out there blowing up boats supposedly for drugs, but we can't keep them out of the fenced-in federal prison. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it sounds bananas. But what
it is bananas.
What else would you want to say to President Trump, Joe? Because, again, you know, this is being broadcast on WBEN in Buffalo, but also on social media. So if there's something you could say to President Trump, what would it be?
I would say, President Trump, I wish that you would set the whole Tiger King show aside and look at the papers that I filed with my clemency, all of the character references, the good that I used to do with children and feeding the homeless and taking care of the vets and everything else that I did for community service. And give me a chance to come back to the free world. And I will make you so proud of what I can do with my platform now for the good of people all over America and the world. And I just ask you, you know, again, set the TV character Joe Exotic aside and let Joseph Maldonado out of prison so he can make you proud and show the world that you did a good thing by signing my clemency. And again, I look up to you, sir. Whether you're guilty or not, you have 34 convictions. They indicted you 94 times. I went to trial, and they punished me by re-indicting me 18 more times. Okay, so we both know what the system's like. I don't need a pardon. Sign my clemency, give me time, sir, let me go. Because if my president of the United States can be such a success, I can walk out of here a felon and I can be just as big of a success, because that's how much I look up to you.
Hey, I want to switch gears now when it comes to your life behind bars and even sporting events, things around TV. Do you get to watch television, sports, NFL football at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Well, we are here.
There's TVs everywhere.
I got to ask you, Joe, we're here in Buffalo, and a lot of people think the Bills got screwed by the officials in the game against Denver. I mean, were you able to watch any of the playoffs, or do you share those sentiments about the Buffalo Bills not being in the Super Bowl?
You know, I'm not that big on football. You know, I do know that the Seahawks and the Patriots are playing the Super Bowl, and I know all of the controversy about Bad Bunny doing halftime and stuff like that. But I'm more of I sit and watch Fox all day long and try and stay up with the news and see what's going on out in the world. So when I do make it out of here, I'm not so far behind on trying to catch up.
So any thoughts on the Super Bowl, Seattle and the wing? Because I can tell you, everybody in Buffalo does not want New England to win the Super Bowl.
I'm laying my flat on the Seahawks. I don't know if I'm going to win or lose, but that's the team that everybody in here seems to be rooting for.
Gotcha. All right, Joe, one last question for you. Again, this is Stefan Mihailu on News Radio 930 WBEN with Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. Is there anything you want to say? I know you've made your passionate plea to President Trump on this platform about a commutation, a pardon, but anything you want to say to the WBEN listeners in Buffalo about your plight, about your life, and what happens next for Joe Exotic?
Thank you all for the love and support. Know that I send my love and respect to each and every one of you that are listening to this. Please reach out to social media to President Trump to sign my clemency, and let's have a huge Tiger King comeback party, okay? And let's do season 3 and show the world what really happened.
And you're ready for that season 3 when you're out of federal prison?
I am, because I have 6,000 video files from that zoo that nobody's ever seen. And people need to see the truth. They really do.
All right. That's Joe Exotic. And what about social media for the Tiger King? If our WBEN listeners want to look you up and find you, where can they do that?
Joe _ Exotic on Instagram. And Tiger King Legend on X. And Joseph Maldonado on Facebook. But if you get on pardonjoeexotic.com, that's pardonjoeexotic.com, Sign my petition. All the links are there to all of the social media websites. It'd be easier for you to find than searching through hundreds of fake accounts. PardonJoeExotic.com. Sign the petition directly to President Trump. I think there's something like 33,000 signatures so far. But I need to get that up into the hundreds of thousands. So everybody out there in the Buffalo area, know that I send my love. George Santos, if you hear this, man, I could use your help, because I think me and you could make some big changes in not only the prison system, but around the world.
All right. Sounds good. Greatly appreciate joining us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Seth.
Yeah, we're going to have to get George Santos on next. I mean, what a life I lead. I'm telling you, in my career, I've interviewed presidents, vice presidents, you name it. My wife 30 minutes ago. And now the pinnacle of my career, Joe Exotic, the Tiger King on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yeah, he had to call me on my cell phone because, again, the Bureau of Prisons specifically had my cell phone. And Tanner Saunders, our great producer, said, he said one word we can't send the radio, so you got to bleep him out, and we did that. So that's another reason why we actually had to record the interview and then broadcast it with Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, on News Radio 930 WBEN. And stick around. I mean, what an amazing 2 hours of radio. I mean, look, again, I always say I'm Stefan Mihailu filling in for Tom Bowerly. And Tom's got more radio talent in his pinky finger than I do in my entire existence, but I try my best. So stick around, though. We've got some great radio for you. Coming up next is going to be Tom Puckett. He is going to be hosting the Buffalo Evening News. Tom Puckett, that's going to be from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Will Kane Country. He's on from 7 to 8 here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And then Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, he's on from 8 to 11. So please do not turn that dial. We've had some broadcasting excellence for the past 2 hours, and it's going to continue with Tom Puckett. Real quickly, we do have a few texts on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. You know, my wife Ashley was talking about the pay in social work and how important that job is. And someone wrote in saying, I literally talked with someone today about how people in human services and direct care are grossly underpaid. What kind of society is this? Yeah, I remember. Again, Ashley wasn't a social worker for the pay. It's because she loved kids and loved helping people. Well, I love all of you. And I really do sincerely appreciate you spending the past 2 hours with me. It was very kind of you. I greatly appreciate sharing my thoughts, interviews with all of you in and around Buffalo and Erie County. Again, stick around. Do not go. Tom Puckett's going to be up next with the Buffalo Evening News. I am Stefan Mihailu. It's been a blessing and privilege to fill in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930, greatest radio station in the country, WBEN.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.